Ladies and gentlemen, we present The Navy Lark with our three stars, Stephen Murray, John Pertwee, and Leslie Phillips. A day with the crowd at the London sales can be grim, but when our crowd sail to London for the day, it's wiser to stay at home if you don't want to get hit in the bargain basement. Well, even if you live as far away as tropical Potamiland, you're not safe.
Here we face another problem of fine and magnificent magnitude, which is worthy of much serious thinking, I am thinking.
I am thinking.
but are you thinking of the same problem of fine and magnificent magnitude, which is worthy of much serious thinking, when you are thinking, as the one that I am thinking?
I am thinking, let us solve both problems by not giving them another funk.
Good day for you, my fine gentleman friend.
Much obliged to my stupendous boon companion. Has your problem of fine and magnificent magnitude anything to do with the truly handsome signal of great urgency for His Excellency Governor Todd Hunter Brown that you are holding between thumb and third finger of your chubby left hand?
It has indeed. This truly handsome signal of great urgency arrived 2 days ago from the top of Boatman Lordship in Whitehall of England.
Oh? Is the truly handsome signal of great urgency asking His Excellency the Governor Todd Hunter Brown and his lady wife to come to have tea with top boatman Lordship in Whitehall of England?
It is.
Then His Excellency Todd Hunter Brown has already answered that he will be happy to have tea in Whitehall of England and is at this very moment packing his fine old genuine imitation plastic leather trunk bags for a trip.
Then the top boatman Lordship will have much respect for His Excellency the Governor Todd Hunter Brown when he sees him wearing his fine old genuine imitation plastic leather trunk bags, I'm thinking. But how did he answer the signal of great urgency when I still have the signal in my chubby left hand?
The top boatman Lordship sent another handsome signal of even greater urgency, which I took to His Excellency Governor Todd Hunter Brown yesterday.
Oh, my gum. In that case, I shall not now need to take this handsome signal to him after all. And we can both get back to that problem of fine and magnificent magnitude worthy of much serious thinking, which you have forgotten.
I second that proposal, but would suggest that we continue our much serious thunk elsewhere. As I see His Excellency Governor Todd Hunter Brown
and his lady wife
approaching and have no desire to be caught for carrying his fine old genuine imitation plastic leather trunk bag. In short, scarpa.
Hey, come back. Oh, give us a hand.
It's you, Claire. Oh. They've thrown it off like they always do. I've been trying to get them to take away my interest for yours.
They have, my dear. If they hadn't by now, Government House would be behind so many bottles, it would look like the Crystal Palace.
True. Do you think perhaps I should stay behind and find out who's been getting all those footballs, Professor?
No, my dear. We've both been invited to London for an official visit, so we'll both go.
This is all very inconvenient, because I've never finished my crazy pavement path in the garden lot.
Crazy pavement? I thought it was to be an ordinary path.
But it was. But it sort of turned out like that.
Yes, I know. And it leads straight round to the off license.
The talker incident.
Well, never mind about that now, Amelia. We must get on or we'll miss this month's supply boat. And I don't want to be stuck in Potamiland when we could be in London.
I wonder what sort of official reception they'll have laid on for us, I wonder.
Oh, it'll be all cut and dried and worked out to the last detail by now. I'm looking forward to it, you know.
So you see, number one, some idiot at Admiralty has bungled the whole thing. The governor of Potamiland and his wife are on their way over here, and nothing has been done about the official reception.
Yeah, quite so, Commander Purdy, but how do we come into it?
If there had been anything else painted gray and the clothes available, you wouldn't have done. As it is, we've got to use trousers.
Well, it's very nice of you to think about, huh?
However, we'd be terribly bucked if you could possibly manage to sail up the Thames as far as Greenwich. Pick up the Admiral.
Then on to the port of London, where you'll pick up the governor of the Tarnidand and his wife, and bring the whole party back to Greenwich.
Mm-hmm. Wouldn't it be simpler if the governor and his wife had four penners on the river bus?
Probably. And they'd have stood a much better chance of getting there. But this is supposed to be an official visit.
Oh, I know what you mean, sir, yes. If they went by bus, it would take months getting the governor's fourpence back from the Abbey.
You know, he could be right at that, sir. They still owe me 1 3/2 for a yard.
Number one, stop encouraging the fool. Now, once and for all, have you got everything quite clear?
Oh, absolutely, sir, yes. We nip up Greenwich, pick up the Admiral, take him to Putaniland, and then back to...
No! Oh, he'll do it. I know he will. We'll never see the Admiral or the Governor again. Well, I don't mind lending the Governor fourpence for the river bus and adding it on to the 1 3/2 Admiralty already owe me for a yard of...
Number one, I am a very, very, very patient man.
Good. I imagine you need to be in your job.
No, rather. Always a load of muck flying about from one direction to
another. Will you get taken away?
Shall we?
Why not? You were about to say, sir?
I was about to say that I am a very patient man. But if you make one blunder on this trip, I'll have you all dumped out of the service.
Oh, Lord, they do that. Number one will never get his 1 3/2 back.
Well, I probably shan't anyway. Oh, will you be coming aboard Troutbridge as well as the Admiral, sir?
No, I shall be on one of the escort vessels right astern, so I shall be able to keep an eye on you. I also expect to see Troutbridge looking as if she belongs to the fleet.
What do you mean, sir?
I don't want the Admiral or the Governor to think that they've been picked up in something we've borrowed from Tugboat Annie.
Yes, I'll get the chief onto it at once, sir. There might even be time for a complete repaint if we get the whole ship's company onto it.
You know, Thornton, this is the sort of thing that destroys a man's faith in human nature.
What is it?
Well, this all this repainting nonsense, of course. Look, I've got 14 houses in the village done out in flat grey undercoating, and what happens? What happens? Number one, bowls in here. And whips all my eye cloths for Troutbridge. Oh, I don't know, the Navy can all take liberties at times.
Well, it was their paint. Here, Chief, who did you persuade 14 householders they wanted their houses painted battleship grey? They look a bit drab, weren't they?
Yeah, very. They didn't have no choice.
Oh, you mean they haven't got any other colour?
No. Now, I told them it was the local council bylaw that all houses had to be grey.
I never thought they'd believe that one.
They had to, because it's here.
Since when?
Since my Uncle Egbert hurt me, he was elected mayor, of course.
Egbert Pertwee? I don't think I know that one. Who's he?
The local decorator?
Yeah, we come to a sort of little arrangement.
Carve-up, you mean.
Well, call it what you like. Call it what you like. Egbert and John's here doing all right. At least we were until all that hard gloss got wasted on Troutbridge. Do you realise we may have to buy a tin now?
Oh, what a shame.
Say nothing of the 2 gallons of turps to tin it down a bit.
They're going to look nice, they are. 14 houses with 1 tin of paint and 2 gallons of turps.
You should see the undercoat.
I shouldn't think you can see it.
Why? Well, that was half a tin of paint and 3 gallons of turf.
I'm surprised it dried at all.
It didn't. No. Temperature getting a little short down in the village, you know. Not having any hard gloss isn't going to improve matters. I don't know, taking things all round, this little trip to London could be considered extremely fortitude. Dead useful.
Typical, innit? I suppose you'll leave Egbert to face the muck here while you pick up a few more perks through your Uncle Ebenezer and his tub.
Tell me, Nunkey! Dear, I haven't phoned him yet to let him know we're going to see. Of course, he'd never forgive me if Mr. Phillips run us aground somewhere and Nunkey wasn't about to haul us off with his tug.
At the price, of course.
Yeah, and a fixed sale of charges, yeah.
Yeah, and I bet I knew who fixed them and all.
The blower, Johnson. The blower. Hand me the blower.
Thomas?
Oh, hello, Edna. Will you get me pork with five
three... No, Bobo. I
see you. You want none. Oh, yeah, well... Yeah, I just thought I ought to pass the time of day with him, you know.
Well, don't forget to pass on the
glad
tidings as well. You're
through. Hello? Ebenezer Pertwee
speaking. What's your name? This is Johnson.
Mr. Pertwee's health.
Now, all right, all right. We're going to see.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
I could just do with a bit of salvage money.
Yeah, look, we've got to go. We've got to go up the Thames to the Pool of London and pick up an excellency ship.
It's better and better, it is, sir, now.
What do you mean?
Well, considering the right old mess Mr. Phillips can get into in the open sea, I can't wait to see what damage he can do trying to navigate the river.
Yeah, but I think we can safely assume that you're crick, all right.
Yeah, I'll go and get steam up in the cab straight away.
Stop swanking, Nunky. Stop swanking. You haven't been able to get steam out of that boiler of yours for years. Your best offer is lukewarm, rusty water.
Never you mind what it's worth.
Here, I shall want my usual cut to pull.
Yeah, I don't doubt. But why you should get off for making a faulty phone call when you don't even pay for it?
Who nicks all your coal for you?
You do. And the last lot was all done.
Well, if I gave you the best stuff, it would blow you clean out of the water. Get on, Auntie. Remember me to your auntie.
No, that's right. Try and ruin me, Jay. That silly old faggot brought an ear trumpet yesterday, so now I'm in deep trouble.
Oh, why?
You heard what I called her. See you on the sandbank.
Get out. Phillips, you have to keep blowing that siren. Audible warning of approach. The river's pretty crowded, you know. A lot of craft about it.
Oh, don't worry, sis. As soon as they can read our name, they'll all stop it out of it straight away.
They will if they're smart. I mean, you know what sort of muck I can get into in the open sea, but when I go up a river, it can be nobody's business. You are unkind, Chief.
Now, what fascinates me is that we've got this far without closing the Thames to all shipping for a month.
There's plenty of time. We've got another couple of miles to get. Oh, I fall for it every time, don't I?
Bridge, number one here.
Starboard lookout here, sir. Greenwich Pier approaches us.
You mean we're approaching Greenwich Pier, I hope.
That's right, sir. Although if Greenwich Pier could move, my bet is it would be nipping off upriver as fast as it could.
Yes, you're probably right.
Oh, and sir, Admiral's barge approaching us.
Thank you, Goldstein. Admiral's barge approaching, Philip.
Oh, good, sir.
He's packed me alongside, sir.
Thank you.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes, sir?
What are you trying to do? Race him to the pool?
No, sir. I mean, we can win easily. We can do... I see what you mean, sir. You think we ought to stop.
Wait.
Stop engines, please.
Stop engines, please, sir.
Hey, William! Let me get aboard, can't you?
Admiral seems to be in fine voice this morning.
Yes. Now, what next? Oh, yes, yes. Drop anchor, Chief.
But the barge is on, Chief.
Drop anchor.
Drop anchor! Drop anchor! Hey! Whoa! Pull it out! Come on! Everybody down! Bullseye! Got him, sir! Lovely, lovely! Straight through the deck and out the bottom!
Well, Mr. Phillips, what now?
Lower a boat, Chief.
Lower a boat, sir. Give my regards to City Street.
See now, it'll be about the third new barge the Admiral has had through slight errors involving us, maybe.
Yeah, I have noticed, sir.
I suppose you haven't got a relative that can construct Admiral's barges, haven't you?
Well, not as yet, sir, no. No, but the possibilities will no doubt be examined at our next family conference.
Who did it? That's what I want to know. Who put that blasted anchor through me barge?
Oh, dear. Good morning, Admiral. Welcome aboard.
Eh? More than you can afford? Of course it is, man. That's the third barge you've done in. Fast as I launch them, you sink them. Whose side are you on?
Oh, purely a tactical error, I assure you, sir. Perhaps you'd like to go below and dry out in our wardroom.
What's that? Have a fry up in your wardrobe? Talk sense, man. I'm soaking wet, not hungry.
But I didn't
say... Oh, this is rich, isn't it? An official reception for the governor of Patani Land. He comes hundreds and hundreds of miles with no trouble at all. And I try to travel about 5 miles upriver and look as if I swum it.
What was that?
Nothing at all. Just the tug towing the admiral's barge away.
Tug towing the barge away? Oh, they're a bit sharpish, and... Aren't we?
No, a complete stranger, sir. I've never seen the captain before in all my time. Shut up, monkey, you old fool!
Yes, just as I thought. Uncle Ebenezer Pertwee. Now, I wonder who tipped him off.
A pure blind coincidence.
Oh, I'm sure it is.
Out of the kindness of his heart, the monkey happened to be passing whilst delivering urgent medical supplies to a sick cousin twice removed who fell off his ice cream tricycle, sir. He probably said...
Yes, very commendable, Chief. But let it be clearly understood that no matter what sort of muck we get into from here on, I won't have monkey get us out of it if he's the last tug between here and China. Don't bother, Mr. Phillips. That's only the chief's uncle hanging about waiting for a few crumbs off the rich man's table. Bridge number one here.
Starboard lookout here, sir. Tower bridge approach. I mean, we're approaching Tower Bridge, sir.
Funnily enough, we had noticed, Goldstein, but thanks all the same.
Permission to hoist the signal for the bridge to be opened, sir.
Oh, that's all right. I've checked up. We can just clear it.
You sure, Mr. Phillips?
Absolutely positive, sir. Yes, there's a good 4 inches to spare. Between our overall height and the bridge.
Yeah, just the same, I'd feel happier if the bridge was...
Oh, but it takes ages, sir. I mean, they've got to get all the buses and cars off it. Then they have to haul it up and... Well, I mean, what's the point if we can clear it easily? Hmm?
Mm-hmm, very well, be it on your own head.
Liable to be on all our heads, sir, if you know what I mean.
Yes, I do.
Left hand down a bit.
Left hand down a bit it is, sir.
Yeah, steady at that.
Steady at that, sir.
Easy. Now, straighten her up.
Straighten her up, it is, sir. But the Judas said, sir, you'll never make it.
there you are. You see, no trouble at all. We've got bags of room. We'll do it easily.
Yeah, we've done it all right, sir.
Sure.
Our mast snapped off and most of it's on the bridge.
Oh, stop engine.
Stop engine's a bit like it is, sir.
Oh, I know what's happened. It's high tide.
Oh.
We've only got that 4-inch clearance at low tide. Oh, pity.
Boy, you down there! Look what you done!
Who is that?
Well, I think it's that bus conductor leading over the bridge. He's shaking his fist.
Oh, so it is. Good morning, bus conductor. Lovely day.
You stupid Nick. Who have you done to my bus?
What?
Suck your blame mask. Snap through the you, sticky pop.
Oh, dear. Have you sent for a doctor?
Nobody's hurt, but you've done the bus in good and proper.
Tell him there's another one right behind, sir.
Not likely, you tell him.
What's my friend got to say? He's
nuts. Well, just tell him what happened.
Ha ha, that'll be good, that will. I can just see his face when I tell him his bus has been hit by a frigate.
Yeah, it's nothing. I can just see the admiral's face when I tell him his frigate's been hit by a bus.
It'll drive the insurance companies raving mad, this lot will.
What on earth? Oh, yes. Guess who?
Well. Oh, well, fancy that, sir. Now, there's a bit of luck. Monkey in his tug again. He's doing well today, sir, isn't he?
No, Chief, he isn't. We'll get Trout Bridge out of here without his help if we had to take the Tower Bridge and that flaming bus with us.
Give over, Monkey. He won't wear it.
And you.
That'll do. One more word and I'll shove a tray over the top of your funnel and smoke you out.
Lower us down together, Chief, and hold very tight, please.
Throw a stern at sister, and every man for himself.
Well, number one, the only thing that surprises me about your little trip up here to the pool is that you got here at all.
Matter of fact, Commander Purvey, it surprised us a bit.
Yes, jolly good show, I thought.
Jolly good show? You knocked 7 kinds of buck out of the Tower Bridge, a national monument, I might add. Wreck a number 78 bus, and you reckon it was a jolly good show?
Now, fair, huh? I mean, look at all the bridges we missed.
Oh. Good grief, you'll want a medal next.
No. A vote of thanks from the Lord Mayor would do quite nicely. I've never met Mr. Whittington or his cat before. Oh. Sorry, I spoke.
So are we. It's too late to change plans now, so I shall have to let him sail downriver again. But try to remember that you have the Admiral and the Governor and his wife aboard this time, and we'd like at least one of them to arrive safely.
Safely!
Are you staying aboard, Commander Purvey? Much to my own personal relief, number one. No, I am not. I shall be right as stern in Memphis.
Well, mind you, don't bump us.
What?
I mean, tithe not to kick up a rumpus.
No. But crying out loud, sail in 5 minutes, number one. The official party are in your wardrobe.
Aye, aye, sir.
And this time, try to remember to fly a signal for the opening of the bridge. They'll be only too happy to oblige. If you'll only ask, there's no need to charge it like a rogue elephant.
Aye, aye, sir. No, and I'll see you at spinning.
What?
You don't get it. Oh!
Well, Mr. Phillips, I was just wondering, what is the signal a ship has to fly if she wants Tower Bridge open?
I have no idea, I suppose. Mr. Phillips, you're supposed to know that.
Yes, I thought I was. Hmm. Oh, well, I'll think of something. Left hand down a teensy-weensy bit.
Left hand down a teensy-weensy bit.
Well, Miss Phillips, have you thought of that signal yet?
Not quite, sir.
Not quite?
No, the nearest I got so far is this one. Yellow, blue, yellow.
What's that mean?
Keep clear of me. I'm maneuvering with great difficulty.
Blimey, we ought to fly that perisher all the time.
Bridge number one here.
Starboard, look out here, sir. There's a large yacht for us, sir, and we're a bit close.
Oh, yes, so we are. Thank you.
We're approaching Tower Bridge, sir.
We're all acutely aware of that, Goldstein.
Permission to go below, sir. That masonry's powerful, heavy when it's...
No, Goldstein. You get ready to duck like the rest of us.
What's that bell?
I think it's coming from the Tower Bridge, sir. Yeah, that's right. So look, it's opening.
Oh, so it is. Well, that's jolly civil of them. I wonder how they knew.
That yacht ahead of us, Mr. Phillips. Whoever's on that evidently knows the right signal. Bridge number one here.
Starboard, look out here, sir. Clear of the bridge, sir, and I didn't feel a thing.
Prize to all of us, Goldstein. Thank you.
Ah, wonderful sight, isn't it, sir? Real bit of old London.
What is, Mr. Phillips, Goldstein?
No, sir, no. No, the way the bridge comes down after a ship has passed through. Sorry.
Sir. Yes, it is. Been all those years, too.
What, Goldstein? Sir,
about the others.
Down she goes, almost shut now. Real bit of old London.
Sir!
Hmm? What is it, Chief?
Oh, nothing, sir, but it's a real bit of old Portsmouth and makepeace behind us, sir. It's still the other side of the bridge.
What? Oh, Lord, so there he is. And it's almost shut. The stop engine, Chief.
Stop engine, this is, sir.
I don't want to miss this.
If Commander Purvey puts his foot down, he might make it even yet.
Well, he certainly can't stop.
Yes, I think he's going to, sir. I think he's going to make it. You do it. You.
Oh.
Everybody down! Right team in the race. rest of the fellows right behind it. Three corvettes. One night torpedo boat. Two launches. And the gentleman of the press.
Blimey, how's that for a monumental pile-up?
Better than your best, Mr. Phillips.
Oh, blimey. Nunky should clean up with that little lot.
Should indeed. Where is he?
Oh, here he comes now. Set it up, you old fool. Take it easy or you'll run out of steam.
Monkey seems to be adrift, Mr. Phillips.
Yes, he does. What a shame. I suppose we could take him in, though.
Yes. At a price, of course.
The carver, that's what it is. It's a dirty, bright carver.
Yes, it is. Throw him a line, Chief.
Oh, blimey. Throw him a line, it is, sir.
And that was Stephen Murray, John Pertwee, and Leslie Phillips working their passage in The Navy Lark, written by Laurie Wyman. Stephen Murray was the number one. John Pertwee was the chief petty officer. Leslie Phillips was the sub-lieutenant. Commander Povey was played by Richard Caldicott. Governor Todd Hunter Brown was Tenniel Evans. Lady Brown was Heather Chasen. And the two Patani Landers were played by Ronnie Barker and Michael Bates. The recorded production was by Alistair Scott Johnson.